everyone. Welcome to the service live stream this long weekend. Hope you guys are having a fabulous holiday weekend and that you're able to get out into the beautiful weather that we're having lately. Lots of stuff is going on for our service today. We're super excited to have CPC joining us and doing a combined service. And after that, we are planning on doing a barbecue. And so just because you're tuning in online doesn't mean you're not invited. We would love to have you come by. If you're not able to make the service or you're not comfortable doing so, feel free to pop by around 11 o'clock at our Wilkinson Road campus to grab a little lunch, a little barbecue here and there, and to say hi to some people because we'd love to see you. But regardless, we're so grateful that you're tuning in to this live stream, and we pray that this wouldn't just be something that you tune into, that you've push play on while you're doing the dishes, but that you would really encounter Jesus through the words shared, through the songs shared, through each aspect of this service. And we would love to connect with you. If you have any questions or if you want to dig a little deeper, there's places on our website where you can go to just get connected. Send us an email at office@sanishbaptist.com and just let us know who you are and where you're tuning in from. So thanks for joining us today, and we hope you guys have a great day.
This Sunday, July 31st. Woo! Once again, we are partnering with One Up Single Parent Resource Center to provide 240 kids with backpacks this year.
That's a lot of kids.
It is. Luckily, we're also partnering with Colwood Church and Canvas Oak Bay because, I mean, I know our church could do it, but we need some help.
Yeah. Awesome. So what do the people need to know?
So if you're in an in-person service, there is a table at the back of the fireside room where you can sign up, take your backpack, and take your little supply list.
Nice.
And then go shopping.
Woo!
My favorite.
It's your favorite.
Go shopping and then make sure that you return it no later than August 21st.
August 21st.
It gives you four Sundays.
Okay. Four Sundays worth of shopping. Exciting. Well, we're super excited to be doing Pack to School and Love of the Laces again. We would love for you guys to jump in and help us send some kids back to school all ready and geared up. So let's do it.
Woo! Woo!
It is always an exciting time of year when we get to do Pack to School, Love the Laces. So for those of you in the room, if you haven't wandered into the back fireside room and seen the tables and the backpacks, definitely go check that out after. But hey, it is so great to see all of your faces here. And a special shout out to those of you from our CPC campus who made your way over here. Woo! Yeah, give me a shout! Woo woo! So great to have everybody all together in one place where we can come from our different campuses, our different places, and we can come in unity to worship our God. So I'm going to invite you to stand, and I'm going to read this call to worship just as we get started. And it's from Psalm 33, verses 1 to 5, and then just the end of the chapter, 21 to 22. And it says this: "Good people, let's cheer on our God. I'll read that again. Let me try. It was a practice. We'll try one more time. Good people, let's cheer on our God. Woo! There we go. Right living people sound best when praising. Use guitars to reinforce your hallelujahs. Play his praise on a grand piano. Compose your own new song to him. Give him a trumpet fanfare. For the word of the Lord is right and true. He is faithful in all he does. The Lord loves righteousness and justice, and the earth is full of his unfailing love. In you our hearts rejoice, for we trust in your holy name. May your unfailing love be with us, Lord, even as we put our hope in you. So let's do that. Let's put our hope in our God, and let's sing about the great things that he's done.
life. You give life, you are love, and you bring light to the darkness. You give hope, you restore every heart that is broken. And great are you, Lord. Sing that again. You give life. You give life. You are love. You bring light to the darkness. You give hope. Restore every heart that is broken. Great are you, Lord. It's your breath in our lungs, so we pour out our praise. We pour out our praise. It's your breath.
One more time, sing it out.
Oh, and all
sing, I love you, Lord. I love you, Lord. Oh, your mercy never fails me. All my days I've been held in your hands. From the moment that I wake up until I lay my head, oh, I will sing of the goodness of God. Sing it again. I love you, Lord. Oh, your mercy never fails me. All my days I've been held in your hands. From the moment that I wake up till I lay my head, oh, I will sing of the goodness of God. Like no other, I've known you as a father, I've known you as a friend, and I have lived in the goodness of God. Goodness of God, yes, I will. the goodness of our God. You're so good, I will sing of the goodness of God. Yeah, God, we do declare both with our voices and our hearts and our souls that you are good, that you are great, that you do great things. God, we thank you that we can look back. At least I can look back at my life and I can see how you have been with me and how you have worked and moved. Sometimes in small ways, sometimes in really big ways. But God, we thank you that we can know you to be good, not just from the things that you do, but because it's your character, it's who you are. You are goodness, you are love, you are hope. So God, would you continue to show us who you are? Would you continue to teach us about your character? Would you continue to encourage us and transform our hearts and our minds to look and sound and walk more like you every day? Yeah, we give you glory, we give you honor, we give you praise because you are worthy of it. You are worth all of the praise that we can give. So we offer it to you this morning. And we pray these things in your powerful name. Amen. Well, you guys can have a seat. And kids, if you want to head to the back and find Shyla, she's waving at you there, and she would love to take you upstairs to your kids' program where you guys can continue worshiping there.
Thanks, Kim. Oh, it's great to have you all with us this morning. Those of you who regularly attend out at CPC, welcome. We gave you a little shout out earlier. That was fantastic. For those of you who are joining us online today, we have just sung some amazing things about our God, that he's faithful, that he's good. And as I was talking to one gentleman before the service, we were just discussing just how much we need these times where we set aside to gather, maybe in a large gathering, or maybe it's more in a home, just with some others, like-minded, who can walk with us and journey with us, declaring that God is good. And when we do that together, we can then be challenged with these words. I'm going to read to you from Matthew 6, 25 to 34. Probably very familiar to you. But we know God is good. We trust and we love him, but life can get in the way, right? Life can be difficult. So we come to this passage. Matthew 6, 25 to 34. Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about life. What you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear, is not life more than food and the body more than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Can any one of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life? And why do you worry about clothes? See how the flowers of the field grow. They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? So, do not worry saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink? What shall we wear? For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own.
It is nice to be with you. It is nice to have a sunny day, but also be in air conditioning. So Yeah, usually on these sunny summer days, I would be upstairs cooking with the kids, so it's nice to be with you today. We are starting a new sermon series that is going to take us through the month of August. So we're going to be exploring the Gospels and looking at different encounters that people had with Jesus. And we know that Jesus made it pretty clear throughout his time here on earth that he had one main mission, and that was to usher in and to announce the kingdom of God. In everything that Jesus said, everything he did, he was teaching, he was demonstrating what that kingdom, the eternal kingdom, was going to look like and was looking like right there that we can be a part of bringing. But what I find really fascinating is that Jesus had lots of interactions with people. He taught a lot. He had lots of conversations. And none of those interactions were exactly the same. He didn't have like a single script that he used on repeat every time he talked to people, but he spoke into people's circumstances. He met people where they were at. And so our hope, as Lindsay and I go through this series, is that we can get glimpses, a different angle of what the kingdom of God looks like by inspecting these interactions, these encounters that people had with Jesus. So before we get into it, let me pray. Yeah, God, we are so grateful for who you are, that you are good, that you are faithful, that when we open up your word, when we open up scripture, we know that what is in there is good news, that you sent Jesus to come and declare good news for us. And so I pray that you will help us to understand just a piece of that today. That we will read this text accurately, but that we will hear your voice. That just as you spoke in a unique way to each person when you are walking on this earth, that you want to speak to us today in a unique way. So, yeah, open our ears. Take away those barriers that may be getting in the way of you speaking to us, but let us really hear from you this morning. Pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. So to start off, we are going to be looking at a story, a short story, story of Jesus entering into the home of Mary and Martha. So we find that in Luke chapter 10, verse 38 to 42. So to start off, I'm just going to read it so we know what we're all talking about. Okay, verse 38. As Jesus and his disciples were on their way, he came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. She had a sister called Mary, who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he said. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. She came to him and asked, "Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself? Tell her to help me." "Martha, Martha," the Lord answered, "you are worried and upset about many things, but few things are needed, or indeed, only one. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her." So this story is actually the first story that I ever taught. I was probably around 12 or 13, and I joined in with my mom's Sunday school class, and I'm positive that I didn't like pull out any really strong theological truths. I just kind of taught the story. I still remember having like the plates and cups so the kids could act out the story. But I think the reason I had chosen that story was, first of all, it's very short. But also it's really relatable, especially for children, right? I think every kid can understand watching their sibling not helping with the chores or whatever it is and going to their mom or dad and saying, "Come on, tell them to come help me. This is not fair." So a kid can understand that. And what's maybe a little bit embarrassing is that as I've grown up, I've realized that that feeling hasn't gone away for me. I still sometimes read this story, and my first thought is like, "Oh, Martha, I feel you. That is so frustrating. I've experienced that too." We have all been Marthas at one point or the other.
But what's always hard when I come in with that heart is the moral of this story is not, you know, we should all work hard together, or we should even serve Jesus well. Like, that's not the point that Jesus was making. Martha is not the hero of the story. So leads us to the question of, what is the moral of the story? Why did Luke think that this encounter with Jesus was important to record in Scripture so that we can be reading it today? But I think before we start answering that question, we need to remember what Jesus' main message was. What did he come to do? It was to announce the kingdom, yes. I think we need to keep that at the front of our minds. Jesus came to proclaim the kingdom. Everything he taught, everything that he demonstrated was to say, hey guys, this is what the kingdom looks like. This is what it sounds like. This is what it smells like. It tastes like. I don't know what the kingdom tastes like. But everything he did was to show the people of that day, and we now read it and can get a picture of what the kingdom of God looks like. So I believe that in this encounter with Jesus, we can learn from this encounter about what the kingdom of God looks like. So, we're going to go through this story just a bit slower so we can really figure this out. So, we have Jesus entering into the home, Mary and Martha. And actually, let's just stop right there. I love opening my home to people, love being in a hospital, having people stay with me. I cannot imagine how terrifying it is to host Jesus. And maybe Martha was a bit naive and she didn't fully comprehend that she was hosting the creator of the world, but still, he was an important person, and so there's a certain amount of, you know, preparation and service that would feel necessary to host somebody like Jesus. But Jesus comes into their home, and we realize that he began teaching at some point, and Mary went and sat at his feet and listened. And at the same time, Martha was preparing. She was busy preparing or doing all the stuff that is necessary when you have guests. And whether you are a woman or not, I think each of us maybe identify more with one choice or the other. As like modern readers of this story, we understand that there's different personality types, there's different giftings. So people make choices based on those things. We can understand that. But I think it's important that we just for a time try to put on some lenses, like first century reader lenses. What would this have meant to the original readers? And today we understand that whether consciously or unconsciously, we all kind of follow some sort of gender norms, gender roles. But it's important for us to understand that the role of Jewish men and women during this time was very distinct, it was very clear, and it was regularly adhered to. So the original readers of this would have understood that even a home was divided into male and female spaces. So like the public rooms were for the men, and then the back rooms, like the kitchen, were for women. So Mary was leaving the room, the space, where she was supposed to be, where it was right and proper for her to be, to enter into space that was typically only used by men. The other piece that I think is really important for us to realize is that statement about Mary sitting at the feet of Jesus, we can picture it, right? She's sitting there, she's looking up at him with love and admiration, listening to him. But I think there's actually another piece there as well that can help us understand better what is happening. And N.T. Wright says this, that to sit at the teacher's feet is a way of saying that you are being a student and picking up the teacher's wisdom and learning. In that very practical world, you wouldn't do this just for the sake of informing your own mind and heart, but in order to become yourself a teacher, a rabbi. So Mary, she wasn't just like breaking the social rules by being in a space that was usually reserved for men, but she was also taking on a role that had traditionally only been held by men. And while I was thinking about that, it reminded me of when I was in university. I was like occupying two different spaces, because I was getting a degree in elementary education, which meant that like 99% of my classes were just women. And that may be exaggerating, but really it was close to that. And I was serving in kids ministry at my church. Again, pretty female-dominated area of ministry. But at the same time, I was working for my dad, who's a contractor. And so in that part of my life, I was going into places where I was usually the only female worker, and usually I was doing jobs that were typically held by men. And I know I was welcome there, that wasn't the issue, but a lot of the times I would realize that, like, I really don't fit in here. Like, this isn't really where I belong right now. And looking at Mary, I wonder if that's kind of how she felt as well. Like, I really don't fit here. I don't fit in this room, and I really don't belong sitting at the feet of Jesus, being a student of his. But that is the bold choice that she made. But continuing through this story, we see Martha, and she is frustrated. She is frustrated that Mary is not following the rules, that she has left her to do all the work. And again, I totally understand. But she comes to Jesus and she says, "You see what's going on here, right? Like, you see that my sister has left me to do all the work. She has broken the rules. She has entered the space. She's doing things that she should not be doing. Aren't you frustrated with her the way that I'm frustrated with her? Tell her to come help me." And I think as we read her bold statement, she was pretty bold with Jesus. I think she assumed that Jesus was going to be on her side, because she was following the rules. She was working hard to serve him. Like, she had the moral high ground in this argument. But I think Jesus' response would have surprised her a bit, because instead of siding with her and saying, like, "Yes, Mary, you're right, Martha, Mary should go and help you," he replied with these words. He says, "Martha, Martha, you are worried and upset about many things, but few things are needed, or indeed, only one. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her." It's pretty strong language, right? There is only one thing needed. Mary has chosen what is better. It's said with gentleness, but Jesus is saying, you each made a choice, and Mary chose what was better. What does that mean? What is Jesus teaching us? If he is demonstrating to us what the kingdom of God looks like, what is he showing us? And I have a couple thoughts. First one is, this isn't the first, and definitely it's not the last time, that Jesus was just completely rejected any sort of social rules. If you look just a little bit back in the same chapter, Jesus told the story of the Good Samaritan, where the hero of the story was a person that was despised by his Jewish listeners. Jesus would sit and have dinner with tax collectors, the worst of the worst. He would touch lepers. He allowed a sinful woman to wash his feet with perfume. Like, Jesus was constantly blowing people's minds. He was constantly making them think differently. And when we read this story with that historical lens, I think we realize that this was another moment where Jesus was blowing people's minds. Because we do have recorded that Jesus did not believe a woman's place was in the kitchen. And that sounds a bit silly, but I'm kind of serious. Because, yes, we know we're all called to be servants. And we're all called to be active in demonstrating God's love in sacrificial ways. But I really want us to hear Jesus' bold words that Mary chose what was better. Women in the kingdom of God are not limited to their traditional roles. In the kingdom of God, women are free. They are free to learn directly from Jesus. They are free to be full disciples. And they're free to be teachers of the word. And I'm really not trying to push like an egalitarian or a feminist agenda, but it is because of stories like this, stories where I hear the heart of my Savior, that I feel like I can stand up here confidently. And it's stories like this that make me excited to see the next generation of women just using their gifts in whatever way God has called them to use them. And that I'm excited to encourage women to pursue God and to be obedient to Him in any way they need to without feeling like they're constantly pushing up against a limit that should be placed on them. I see that Jesus is inviting women to be free. And that is such good news. That is the good news of the kingdom. Amen. Yeah. Yes. Yeah. The other thing that I noticed reading through this is actually a parallel between this story and the story that Steve has been teaching on the last couple weeks. So if you weren't here, Steve has been going through the parable of the prodigal son. So we looked the first week at the younger son, the one who took his inheritance and wasted it. Then last week, Steve looked at the father who embraced him when the son returned and celebrated his return. But the part that we didn't talk about, but we read the story last week, if you were here, and what struck me was that part about the older son, the one who stayed and worked hard while the younger son had gone away. And when this son, we read this in Luke chapter 15, when the older son, he heard that his brother was back and that his father was putting on a party, celebrating his return, he became angry, right? He was angry and he refused to come celebrate with everyone else because he had worked hard for his father. He had been obedient to him and yet he had never felt celebrated the way that he saw his younger brother being celebrated. But his father responded to him in Luke 15, verse 31. "My son," the father said, "you are always with me, and everything I have is yours. You are always with me, and everything I have is yours." I just found that so heartbreaking. That son, the older son, had been with his father all those years, and yet he had been missing out on the beautiful, extravagant gifts that were always available to him. And as I read this story of Mary and Martha's encounter with Jesus, I saw that Martha was falling into that same trap as the older brother, that she was working hard to serve Jesus, that she was worried, that she was anxious because she wanted to serve Jesus well, and yet she was missing out on all the wonderful gifts that were right there available to her. The gift of his presence, the gift of his rest, the gift of his freedom. And the other parallel I see is that it's not just that the older brother or Martha were missing out on this, but then they started to become resentful. They started to resent the sibling who was living freely, who was able to experience all those gifts. But the good news of the kingdom is that those gifts are available to everyone. to those receiving and those resenting, they are available. Jesus' presence, his rest, his freedom are available to all. They are available to Mary, they're available to Martha, they're available to all of us. So this message, this picture of what the kingdom looks like, it was, I think, radical at the time that Jesus was having this encounter, that Mary and Martha were encountering Jesus. But as I was thinking about it, I was wondering if actually things haven't changed that much. If we as Christ followers sometimes don't always live out these kingdom principles because they're still a bit too radical for us, I think it can still actually feel safer to live restricted rather than live free. It seems crazy, but I think we sometimes find it safer to live restricted rather than to live free. I think it can still be more comfortable and feel more valuable to be busy working for Jesus than just sitting and resting and being in his presence. And I think it is definitely easier to limit or judge rather than just sit in that discomfort of having different experiences or convictions. And so my challenge for all of us today is to really hear Jesus' radical message, to really listen to the words of Jesus. And so whether you are a man or a woman, if you are finding yourself kind of in Mary's situation, where you are wanting to live that full, free, kingdom-informed life, but you're kind of feeling the pressure or limitations from whatever it is, but you're feeling those limitations, hear Jesus' words. You have chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from you. So be free. And if you're here and you're connecting with Martha, you're working hard, you're getting caught up in worry and anxiety, you're beginning to resent those who are living free lives, listen to the words of Jesus, his gentle words. You are worried and upset about many things, but only few things are needed, or indeed only one. Come to me, and I will give you rest. So for our last few minutes that we have together, I just want us to sit in the presence of God and to listen to his voice. Because as I said in the beginning, I believe that Jesus, that the Spirit of God, he wants to speak to you in your situation. It's the same good news, it's the same message, and yet it is unique for you. And so as we've heard this story, as we've seen that glimpse of what the kingdom is like, what does God want to say to you? And I have a few questions, use them or don't use them, but just as we sit in the presence of God, consider his message for you. So my first question is, are there things that are holding you back from walking in the freedom that Jesus gives? What would it look like to boldly follow where Jesus is leading you? Or are you striving to work hard and do what the right thing for Jesus, but you're missing him in the process? Consider Jesus' invitation to sit at his feet and receive the gift of his presence and his rest. And finally, do you find yourself looking at others with judgment or resentment as they walk in freedom? What do you need to confess to God? And how can you move forward in a better way? So I'm just going to give us some time, ponder these questions, or just spend time in the presence of God. And then in a few moments, I'll close in prayer. God, you are a generous God. You are a God who delights to give good gifts to his children. And we thank you for the gifts you have given us. We thank you for the gift of Jesus, for his life here on earth, the message that he brought that can still, oh man, transform our lives today. That still offers us true abundant life. We thank you for his sacrifice on the cross, that there is now nothing that stands between us and your throne, that we can boldly enter your presence, that we can learn directly from you, that there is nothing that hinders us. I thank you for the gift of your freedom, that we don't have to return to a law that is so heavy and burdensome, but that we can walk boldly with our eyes fixed on you, with our hearts desiring for obedience. We can follow you knowing that you are faithful. God, I thank you for the gift of your rest, that you have invited us to come to you, to experience that. And the list goes on and on and on and on of your beautiful, generous, extravagant gifts that you have offered us that are always available to us. Help us not to miss them or dismiss them because we want to do stuff in our own strength. May we take full advantage, and may we invite others to take full advantage of what you have done for us. Yeah, God, we want to serve you. We want to work hard for you. We want to live out this faith in action. But give us that kingdom perspective that you are the Savior of the world, that we don't need to do that. We can rest in what you have done. We can sit in your presence and experience all that you are offering us right now in this moment. So thank you for stories like this, that we can catch a glimpse of your kingdom, that we can hear your beautiful words, that we can continue walking in the freedom that you offer. I pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Well, let's sit at the feet of Jesus, shall we? I invite you to stand, and I'll invite the ushers to come forward as we take up the offering. But as Christina was kind of sharing a little bit about her sermon and where to go, I just was thinking, what is a song that kind of allows us to sit at the feet of Jesus? And King of Kings came to mind. And if there is ever a song that really just tells the story of Jesus, of who Jesus is, who God is, and who we are, and then give us a chance to respond in praise, I feel like that song does that so well. So let's sit at the feet of Jesus, or stand as we stand at the feet of Jesus, and let's learn from him, let's sing of him, let's praise him together. In the darkness we were waiting, without hope and without light, till from heaven you came running. There was mercy in your eyes to fulfill the law and prophets. To a virgin came the word, from a throne of endless glory to a cradle in the dirt. Praise his name. Praise the Father, praise the Son, praise the Spirit, three in one. God of glory, majesty, praise forever to the King of Kings. Kingdom coming, and to reconcile the lost, to redeem the whole creation, you did not despise the cross. For even in your suffering, you saw to the other side, knowing this was our salvation, Jesus for our sake you died. Stone was moved for good, for the Lamb had conquered death, and the dead rose from their tombs.
Great. God, thank you for your presence with us here, and for those of you online, I know, in the spaces that you're in as well, God is with you also. If you're needing prayer following the service, there will be people up front. I'd love to pray with you. If you're maybe wanting to get connected, hear a little bit more about SBC online, you can do that. For those who are watching, just hit the website. For those of you who are here in the room, you could talk to me after the service, or talk to one of the staff, or Kim here up front. We'd love to help you out with that. Maybe you want to fill out one of the cards in the back of the seat in front of you. You can just drop that off at the offering plate in the back. It's been so good to have you with us. Just want to conclude by reading these words from St. Patrick. It says, Christ with me, Christ before me, Christ behind me, Christ in me, Christ beneath me, Christ above me. Christ on my right, Christ on my left, Christ where I lie, Christ where I sit, Christ where I arise. Christ in the heart of everyone who thinks of me. Christ in the mouth of everyone who speaks to me. Christ in every eye that sees me. Christ in every ear that hears me. Go with God. It's been great to have you with us this morning.